From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
But while President Trump has been talking up our preparedness, his policies have been tearing down our defenses to climate change, which is often a blame for extreme weather.
Yeah, that's the left and the mainstream media blaming President Trump for Hurricane Florence. I'm Russ Jones. Happy Friday. I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins. You indeed are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. It's great to be with you today. Well, 18 inches in 2 days, Hurricane Florence continues to slam the coastal line of the Carolinas. But it didn't take long, as you heard. On Wednesday, the editorial board of the Washington Post declared that President Trump is complicit for Hurricane Florence because of his views on climate change. So many more. We'll talk with Gregory Wrightstone. He's author of Inconvenient Facts, Geologist. He has got the truth, which is what we bring you here on Washington Watch. And on Thursday, the Republican House voted in favor of measures to increase funding for the Department of Veterans Affairs and rebuild the military while continuing to push for fiscal responsibility in the federal government. Oklahoma's Representative Steve Russell in new news here will chair the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee's National Security Subcommittee. Congressman Russell will be here in just a moment. And parents are claiming major victory after one of the largest school districts in Colorado acknowledged this month that it has discontinued purchasing or using any products for students from a company that embeds pornographic material in its databases marketed for unsuspecting school children across the nation. We'll talk with one of the concerned parents in the case who has been driving the pushback, Drew Patterson. We'll talk with him later in the show. And of course, we'll take your calls on the show later. You can find all of this great content on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReports. And just a big reminder, next week, the Values Voters Summit, we are hitting record numbers of attendees. It's the premier event for conservatives in the nation, September 21 through the 2023. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. Time is running out. Well, as I mentioned yesterday, the House voted to send the first set of fiscal year 2019 appropriations bills to the president's desk. This is long overdue return to regular order and helps fulfill the promises of the House and promises of President Trump to the American people. And we also are learning that Congressman Steve Russell will chair the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security. The subcommittee has oversight of the State Department, Defense Department, Homeland Security, and the Agency for International Development. A good friend of this program, let us now welcome Congressman Russell. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Russ.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thanks. It's exciting. We've already got several things that we're looking to investigate both domestically and, as you noted, on foreign policy. In particular, we're looking at the Republic of Georgia and Moldova and Russia's activities there with some of the oligarchs and how they're trying to turn these free people into Russia domination again. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of concern. Domestically, we're looking at things like wind turbines and how they are going up in record numbers in our air corridors where our military men and women train both in the Navy and the Air Force, and how they're now going to have hazards of windmills. And we were able to pass some measures last year that began to curtail this. But if it's not one thing, it's another. And it would be very sad to see our military bases put at risk and our training areas put at risk because of subsidized windmills going up where they train.
Well, this is a big task, and I know you're up for it. You're one of the good guys in Washington, D.C., and this subcommittee was previously chaired by Congressman Ron DeSantis, of course, who's running for governor in Florida. And you were the vice chairman of the subcommittee before Wednesday's promotion, so you know the work well. I wanted to ask you a question, and I believe it's on topic, but Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he called out former Secretary John Kerry. Let's take a listen here.
What Secretary Kerry has done is unseemly and unprecedented. This is a former Secretary of State engaged with the world's largest state sponsor of terror. And according to him, right, I don't you have to take my word for it, these are his answers, he was talking to them. He was telling them to wait out this administration. You can't find precedent for this in U.S. history, and Secretary Kerry ought not to engage in that kind of behavior. It's inconsistent with what the foreign policy of the United States is, as directed by this president, and it is beyond inappropriate.
And of course, Congressman Russell, what he's talking about is Secretary Kerry talking with Iran, and so this falls in your wheelhouse, I believe, and this it seems like at every turn there are folks trying to undermine this administration.
Well, and I think Secretary Pompeo makes a very valid point. It is not only unseemly, but it's also not the way that our nation is supposed to work. We the people govern ourselves. We draw our power from the consent of the people. And you've had former leaders, secretaries of state, presidents, that have engaged in foreign policy, but it's always been in cooperation with the administration that was in power. For example, you might have had President Obama who would want a former president or a former secretary to engage in missions of goodwill. We saw President Bush ask President Clinton to do such things. President Carter was well known for this and his ability to go out and do some good work. But it was always in cooperation with the administration in power. And in many cases, it was an administration in the other party. Madeleine Albright, she was able to do some work on European affairs. But in each of these cases, it was not in contradiction to or to befuddle the processes of the administration in power. It was to try to do what was best for the nation and find the common ground and then see if they could use their talents and skills to achieve that aim.
And I appreciate your insights on that. And it's my hope that you'll have time, won't be spending your time on those less pleasant activities, but more in line with like H.R. 5895,
yes.
That the vote was passed 377-20. Tell us about this. It's a Veteran Affairs Appropriations Act.
Well, it's important for a number of things that we're able to see on that. Obviously, our veterans have a lot of need, but at the same time, we are doing some legitimate reforms. I founded and co-chair the Warrior Caucus, which we met with Secretary Wilkie on many of these issues before he was even appointed, and I'm very excited about some of the positive directions we go that we see moving forward under his leadership. But there are a lot of things that we got to do, Russ, with our veterans and also with our military at large. $100 million now dedicated towards anti-terrorism efforts, upgrading our infrastructure, countering challenges posed by Russia and other nefarious actors, particularly in the cyber world, $120 million for protecting American infrastructure against cyber attacks. And why is that so important? These cyber attacks can hack into systems. And imagine for a moment if they're able to get into electrical grids or power or natural gas. Look what happened in Boston yesterday. It was terrible what had happened with overpressure of natural gas systems. What if that were due to nefarious actors? We have to wake up on cyber issues and get ahead of the game. Now, the good news is we have some brilliant technicians and engineers at places in Silicon Valley, at MIT, in Houston, all over the country, that know how to address these issues. Our military is certainly moving very, very strongly in these issues, and they do amazing things. I've had some of those very highly classified briefings of what they're able to achieve, and it's reassuring when you come out of that. But we have to give them the resources so that they can stay ahead of the game.
And Congressman, these issues have become much more important to me of late. I'm 58 years old, never served in the military like you have. A little regretful about that. You know what, Congressman? In January, I was commissioned first lieutenant in the Mississippi State Guard.
Oh, that's great.
Public affairs officer. And you know, it's all volunteer. It's not, you know what it is. But still, at my age, I'm getting to serve in a way that I never thought was going to be possible. I put on the uniform every month and go serve and salute the general. And to see what you're doing here for me now has much more meaning. And to know there are people like yourself that are standing strong for our military and our veterans. And I guess and also part of this bill, approximately $400 million, will be used for opioid abuse. Is that right? Prevention?
That's exactly right. In fact, just in my state, in Oklahoma, more than two-thirds of all overdoses deaths are due to prescription drugs like opioids, mainly opioids. This is a real problem. Congress, in my view, created this problem in the late 1990s with the relaxing of certain provisions that allowed dispensing of these opiates in pain medications and relaxed some of the provisions. And now we've got an epidemic. So we have to find the ways to restrict that. I've been very proud of the work in particular that CVS Pharmacies has done. They are doing things like not filling prescriptions that are above a certain opiate level, which is, you know, would be outside the norm of what might be prescribed by regular physicians. And this is a way that we're seeing a lot of things be curtailed. And I know Walmart and other companies are following in that lead, as well as dispensaries that are out there where they can take expired medications and find a way to properly dispose of them. 160 metric tons was turned in last year to CVS pharmacies alone. Who would have thought? So, you know, this is a community problem that we all have to deal with, and we will never raise enough billions to, hit at the results or the symptoms of it. We've got to get at the causes. And it's something that every American can participate in, even at their local level.
And apparently, just so our listeners know, the bills passed Thursday maintain a 10% spending cut for Congress and a member pay freeze, both of which have been in place since fiscal year 2010. So, you know,
we have to have our own house in order before we are telling other agencies to have theirs in order.
Well, Congressman Russell, thank you so much. You have a blessed weekend, and keep us in the loop here. We love having you on the show, and blessings to you and your new efforts in this new increased level of responsibility.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for all you do, Russ.
All right. Thank you so much. Congressman Russell received this promotion from Representative Trey Gowdy, so couldn't be a better guy to be in that position. We're excited to support him in this, and I know that he'll keep us informed. Well, coming up next, the Democrats and the mainstream media are blaming President Trump for Hurricane Florence. When we return, we'll talk with Gregory Wrightstone. He's author, speaker, climate contrarian. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Go check us out on TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
This hurricane season last year and this year, and actively making the problem worse by not addressing this root cause of worsening storms.
It's so bad that according to two Harvard scientists, Trump's environmental policies could lead to an additional 80,000 unnecessary deaths every decade.
80,000. All the blame on President Trump. Well, according to the left, President Trump is at fault for the formation of Hurricane Florence because he's a climate change denier who pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord. And never mind that the United States is actually reducing carbon emissions, and forget about the mainstream scientists who conclude that greenhouse gases haven't affected hurricane activity. And in the Washington Post, that bastion of news, the paper editorialized that President Trump is, quote unquote, complicit in Hurricane Florence's anticipated destruction. Well, joining us now is Gregory Wrightstone. He's an author of Inconvenient Facts and speaker, geologist, and climate contrarian. Gregory, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Very much.
Well, did we set that up okay for you to comment?
Oh, boy, did you. Yeah, and the NBC News also reported that this is the new reality due to climate change. More storms, more hurricanes, and greater intensity. But the science, facts, and data just doesn't bear it out. If you look even the last decades over from the hurricane data we have, that clearly have captured every hurricane really since the late 70s, we've been in a long-term decline of both tropical storms and hurricanes. And then if you look even longer-term data, going back to the year 1880, there's been a significant decline in the number of hurricanes. So the science, facts, and data show that while we've been increasing CO2 and while temperatures have increased, the numbers of these horrible storms have actually decreased. So the science, facts, and data just don't match what they're trying to spin. And they are trying to spin it. You know that. Everybody that is listening to this show, it's hard to pick up a report on this. They're not mentioning, someplace in there, they're mentioning something about climate change related.
Well, and you know, Gregory, you know, I was digging around prepping for our segment together with you tonight. And, you know, those clips were from CNN. And then they had a meteorologist on that was humming and hawing. I could hardly listen to the interview. It was so bad, you know, him trying to build a case against this administration. But the left just can't help themselves, can they, on this? I mean, why waste a good crisis, as they say, right?
Oh, and we see this is a great example. This will end with forest fires. We can talk about the same thing, very similar situation with forest fires, which have been in a long-term decline, just like hurricanes have been in a long-term decline. But that's not what we hear from the media. What they need to do is H.L. Mencken warned us of these governments and institutions that need to create these imaginary hobgoblins of alarm. Would they use those to frighten the population into so the citizens will gladly accept some onerous, economically punishing rules and regulations like the Paris Climate Accord? Who in their right mind would gladly accept an economic shackles on their country unless there was something terribly harmful coming? So they have to take each one of these tragedies and each one of these situations like fires, hurricanes, tornadoes. Again, tornadoes definitely been a long-term decline. But it's hard to argue with the facts. What they've done now, even the reliably alarmist Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change agrees that climate change and warming is not increasing a hurricane.
So we know the left and the Democrats, you know, they'll try to score cheap political points in the face of tragedy. We know that. So put on your professor hat just in our remaining minute or two. Help our listeners. How do you have this conversation with those that are just, you know, they're just right there in your face about climate change, global warming? You know, do we completely deny it, or how do you have a conversation with someone without, you know, just trying to light them up?
Boy, it's, you know, that's a good question. Not to give a shameless plug, but I think I've got a book, Inconvenient Facts, inconvenientfacts.xyz. If you go there, I've actually got a page on hurricanes with some of these charts I was just talking about. You really have to arm yourself with the data, and it's difficult for laymen to do, and that's really why I wrote my book, was really to empower people with easily understood information that shows polar bears aren't dying and going extinct, they're increasing. The tornadoes aren't increasing, they're decreasing. The world is prospering and greening, and that's really what drove me to write my book here. So I'm not sure, but again, it is difficult. There's so much contrasting and conflicting information out there about the climate. They're just, again, they're hammering away at these hobgoblins of alarm, these imaginary things that they're trying to scare us with.
Doesn't the planet naturally change climates, though?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And whenever Donald Trump says climate change is a hoax, he doesn't mean climate change isn't happening. I've yet to meet a skeptic who believes that. Everyone accepts that. No one denies that climate change isn't happening. What we do deny is that it's man-made primarily, and that will necessarily lead to catastrophic consequences. I'm a big proponent of I'm in St. Louis giving a talk tomorrow. On the title of the talk is how rising temperatures and increasing CO2 are benefiting the Earth and humanity. And it's a huge story that really needs to be told about a prospering Earth.
Well, you are in my home state, just so you know. You're in the promised land, brother. So I appreciate you being on the show. We're out of time, and always appreciate your work. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. That's Gregory Wrightstone, author of Inconvenient Facts, speaker, climate contrarian. Well, coming up next, Parents Win Big, where the Colorado schools end sex ed programs that expose children to porn. Drew Patterson, a parent who has been leading the charge, next when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. It's Friday. I hear the shofar a-blowing. Don't go away. We'll be here in just a moment.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. Getting ready at FRC for the big Values Voter Summit coming up next week in Washington, D.C. Hope you've signed up, ready to go. Well, one of the Colorado's largest school districts has agreed to discontinue using products from a company that parents say expose their children to horrific porn images. We've covered this story at length on Washington Watch. And for the past 2 years, these parents and citizens, with the assistance of the Thomas More Society, has waged an unrelenting struggle against the Denver area Cherry Creek School District. Well, there's been a big win here. Joining us now is Drew Patterson. He's one of the concerned parents that has been leading the charge, living in that Cherry Creek School District there in Colorado. Drew, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
You know, we often report news that's not so cheery here, but tell us about this victory and why it matters.
Well, this victory is one for parents' rights, certainly in this school district, hopefully for Colorado soon. The fourth largest school district in the state has withdrawn its subscription to EBSCO Information Services, which provided databases to the schools throughout the state and the public libraries, and was full of inappropriate images, obscene images, and pornography. And these databases were being used by kids within the schools from, grade 1 all the way up to grade 12, and the potential for harm was extreme.
Now, to remind our listeners, it was your son, wasn't it, that brought home the initial video of this pornographic sex education?
No, what it was is my wife was looking at my daughter's online account with the school district and noticed an unusual link. So she clicked on it, and it took her into one of the EBSCO databases, which on the face of it looked like it might be a valuable tool for kids to use for writing papers or research. But she soon found out that was not the case. She entered in some very innocuous terms, grade 7, 8 biology, human physiology, sorted on that, and the first article that came up was Orgasms for All. And this is in a middle school database. Shortly after that, the filtering, the way it filters your search terms, she was taken into some very, very dark places.
Oh, my goodness. So I imagine you were certainly popular with friends that have a similar worldview, but I would imagine you have also been the major target of opposition.
We faced a, surprisingly, we thought the district would be very happy to find this out and take corrective action. But we actually faced quite a bit of opposition, not only with our school district, with our school board, but at our public libraries when we brought the issue to their attention, and also to the Colorado Department of Education. All of them either denied the issue or basically circled the wagons and shut the door.
So what changed their minds? What caused them to turn the corner here?
You know, at least as far as Cherry Creek, I think there was a certain, you know, just a battle of attrition where we kept at it for 2 years fighting them. And then on, we became involved with Thomas More Society, and basically on the eve of filing a lawsuit against Cherry Creek School District, we think they got wind of it and just decided this is, you know, it's just not worth it. So they suspended their subscription to EBSCO and started dismantling the links to the EBSCO databases. And I have to say that, you know, although 24 months of very hard meetings and discussions, they finally did the right thing. And I don't want to not express our appreciation that they ultimately did the right thing.
Well, Drew, thank you, and your wonderful bride there. I know she's been in the battle with you, Robin, and appreciate you taking time to come on and bring us the latest, and we hope it sticks, and we hope you don't have to revisit this battle.
Let's hope so. Thanks, Russ. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you. We've been talking with Drew Patterson, and you can find out more about this on TonyPerkins.com. But folks, this is Tony talks about this all the time. Stand up and put on the armor and go to battle. If it weren't for folks like Drew and his wife, Robin, this wouldn't have gotten turned around. And it takes folks like them, folks just like you, to put on the armor. Even if you're not hearing about these sorts of things from your pulpit, and I know a lot of folks aren't, not hearing about how to go to battle like this, and bravo, bravo that we could bring you this great news here today. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines now. It's Friday. Give us a call, 866-372-7224, 866-372-7224. I want to hear from you. We've got so much to talk. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You know what? You're listening to Watch. Tell your friends, one of the best shows on radio, powered by the Family Research Council. Give me 372-7234. We'll be right back.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
It's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Hey, did anybody celebrate Rosh Hashanah? We did in our household. In our household, we embrace the Hebrew roots of the Christian faith. By the way, hey, I've got a secret for you. Did you know that Jesus, Yeshua, he was Jewish? And I believe that he would call us to celebrate the biblical feasts and festivals that we read about in the Bible. It's kind of strange. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible about an Easter egg hunt. It's just not in there. That the 12 went out and led their families in an Easter egg hunt. But yeah, we had a Rosh Hashanah dinner in our home. It's the holiest day of the Jewish year. And it's the year 5778. And we're leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's a solemn 25 hours of prayer and fasting. And my spirit and my faith has become so enlivened by this information and this biblical journey that I didn't learn in seminary. And so when you hear me say, "Do you hear the shofar blowing?" That's really a strong meaning for me. It's a holy sound, and when Jesus comes back, when Yeshua comes back, you're going to hear the shofar playing. You're going to hear the shofar blowing. But will we know that sound? So anyway, really glad to be with you here today. Let's go to Chris in Tennessee. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Russ, thank you for taking my call. I love Washington Watch and BFRC and AFR Radio, all the programs. I just had a comment about your last guest.
Yes.
The situation that his wife found herself in when she clicked on that link.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say it's amazing to me that if someone were to go to a child and show them pornographic material on their phone or, say, do something lewd in front of that child, that person could be thrown in jail. And I cannot understand why these school districts can have such a link that leads to, like your guest said, that type of dark material without any criminal consequences. And it's absolutely disgusting, some of the things that are going on in these schools without the parents' permission. you know, Planned Parenthood and these transgender groups going in and telling a little five-year-old boy, you're going to pretend to be a girl today, and tell the little girl, you're going to pretend to be a boy. To me, this is all criminal activity, and I cannot understand why the attorney generals of these states are not prosecuting these school officials and these groups for doing this lewd behavior in front of these children, and especially having pornographic links on a school website. How can this not be criminal?
Well, and you bring up a great question, and I think most of our listeners here would agree with you. I think the left has so embedded itself and its agenda into our public schools that they say, oh no, we're protecting our children, we're protecting and giving them information and enlightening them onto their sexuality, which, you know, Chris, as you and I both know, that's just a farce. It's just so far from the truth.
So they are the employees of the people. Their tax dollars pay those salaries, and they should have to answer to the parents of these children. And I really wish the parents would get more involved and you know, check out the school district or the school's website. Find out what your child is being exposed to, because this has to end. It's just absolutely disgusting what is being done to the children.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And Chris, thank you for bringing that up. And I think you're going to see more rising up as we continue to report the stories here, like Drew and Robin. Thanks, Chris, so much in Tennessee. Let's go to Dwight in North Dakota, way up there. Are you getting some cool breezes, Dwight?
Well, it's going to be until Sunday. We're supposed to hit 90, but then we're going to drop back down in the 60s.
Oh, wow. Well, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments, if I could, about a topic that wasn't on today's show. I don't know if it was on yesterday's. I missed it. But I wanted to comment on this whole thing with these groups that have put up $1 million to try to influence Senator Collins' vote on the justice confirmation. And see if you had any take on it. What I think is, in my view, what these groups have done is virtually guaranteed that Senator Collins has to vote yes on Kavanaugh if she doesn't want to be investigated for accepting a bribe. And my second comment would be, it doesn't feel like a bribe to me, actually. It feels more like blackmail and extortion. And I wonder if you had any take on that.
Well, it's just now starting to kind of hit the wires, and I've been kind of tracking that a little bit today. But apparently, Dwight, you know, they had a group of students were protesting outside of Senator Collins' main office demanding that she vote against President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. So, you know, she's got to be feeling it on all fronts. But I think what you're referring to, you know, is some of the things wasn't it a crowdfunding, some kind of a crowdfunding?
That's the one, They did a crowdfunding, raised $1 million, said if you vote yes for Kavanaugh, we're going to put this $1 million toward your opponent in the election. If you vote no, we simply won't charge the credit cards that have put up this money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we do know that there are all kinds of motivations that cause lawmakers to vote a certain way, and it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. But most of the folks that we've had on the show believe that Judge Kavanaugh will be confirmed, and we'll be following that next week. Dwight, appreciate you bringing that up, and thanks for calling Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Iris in Texas.
Hi. I'm going to make two comments. One, since he brought up about your last caller brought up about Kavanaugh, I think the really big issue is regarding spiritual warfare concerning this. He is a very pro-life judge, as from what I've gotten all the information from American Family Radio and from y'all. And the bottom line is, it's a spiritual battle, and the battle is the Lord's. But I'm praying earnestly, and I urge all those that are listening to pray for this man, because it's a very difficult spot that he is in, but I know the battle has already been won, but we are to be watchmen on the wall. Yes, I know you have those conferences, and I'm not a pastor. I'm a lay person, but I'm an intercessor that prays fervently for this nation. So that's my comment on that.
Well, Iris, and being a layperson is equally as important. I think most pastors would say that, and I think you're right. We are in a deep season of spiritual warfare, and how do you deal with spiritual warfare? Do you get a sense when you're around evilness and darkness? I'd just be curious about that.
Do. Yeah, I certainly do, but I intercede for President Trump and government. That's one of the things that God puts on my heart on a daily basis, and I pray the Word of God, because the Word of God doesn't return void, over government and particular issues, and that's how I engage. And I'm also in a ladies' prayer group where we engage and we lift up Israel, personal needs in the United States and government every week for 2 hours. So I really believe God gives us a revelation, and then we pray according to His will, which is His Word, on how that's how we fight the battle, standing on God's Word. That's one of the weapons of our warfare.
And, I appreciate that.
And my other comment is that I'm a Messianic Jew, and I grew up in the Jewish faith, and I have so many fond memories of growing up in Detroit, and my father was a devout Orthodox Jewish man. So you just are truly an answer to my prayers, because somebody provoked me to jealousy and then prayed for my salvation for 12 years, and now I've known the Lord for 36
years.
And 5 generations now have been affected by me accepting Yeshua HaMashiach.
Iris, Iris.
So thank you for being here.
You're going to make me cry, because did you hear what I said earlier?
Yes,
about Rosh Hashanah?
I say that every week. It just it touches my heart. I have a lot of righteous Gentiles that have a Jewish heart, and we're grafted in, and we are one in Yeshua. And thank you for your labor of love, and thank you for embracing your Jewish roots. God bless you.
Iris, I am a Gentile, and I'm not Jewish, but I'm embracing the Hebrew roots of my faith, because I've seen believers like yourself, Jewish believers, and what it means, and we can't expect Jewish people to come to know Yeshua when we throw out the Jewish roots of the Christian faith, and we've just systematically done it. And there's so much there. There's so much I've learned from the lunar calendar versus the solar calendar. There's so much I've learned by my trips. I've been to Israel 5 times, and I learn something each time. I bury myself as well into the Torah, and as well as the Gospels, and there's just so much fruitfulness that we're not sharing with our flocks and our believers, and I feel very strongly about this, and all I know is that my faith has become alive because of it. And if Jesus was doing it, if Yeshua was doing it, then Iris, I want to do it. Isn't that, you know, what's that WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, no offense here, I'm going to get some hate mail probably, but he wouldn't be doing an Easter egg hunt. You know, he just wouldn't. He would be breaking the bread, and what was he doing before he went to the cross? Iris, you know this, he was in a Seder meal, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I just want to say that another call for cry. This is the time of year that Jewish people are so seeking God for their atonement once every year. And my heart's cry is, and I intercede so strongly that my Jewish brothers and sisters will have their eyes flooded with light, and that they will, the blinders will be removed from their eyes like they were from mine, to embrace Yeshua. So this time of all time of year is a time when Jewish people's hearts are sensitive. Thank you for your sensitivity, and I'm so glad that the wild olive branch and the natural are one.
Amen, Iris. Thank you so much for calling Washington Watch. That, folks, I could die and go to heaven right now. That just made my day. Let's go to John in Clarence, Mississippi. Hi, John. Welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Brother Russ?
I am. Woo! I'm blessed. How are you? I am blessed beyond measure.
Yes, Lord. The Lord gave me this revelation about maybe say about almost 6 months ago. He showed me something about the name Jerusalem. In the middle of that name is USA. It means Judeo-Christian. We are linked. We are as one. That's why we don't appear in the Bible.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah. Wow, that's
one.
A good...
We are so linked. As Jerusalem goes, so goes USA. And so, you know, we are together. And, you know, and with President Trump, the Lord has used him to really highlight that. And now you can really begin to see it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, and you obviously have been, on a similar journey, and I appreciate that, and, you know, that's a good word for us, John, and appreciate your support and listening to Washington Watch.
You be blessed with the Lord, brother. Have a safe weekend.
All right, I will. You too. Let's go to Wesley in Mississippi. Wow, folks are lining up here in Mississippi here today. Big weekend here in the state. Wesley, Alabama's in town here in Oxford, Mississippi.
Well, I actually live in Alabama, and I teach a public high school in South Mississippi in Pascagoula. Hey, that's what I wanted to call about. I first listened and to hear all the blame that the church is placing on us public school teachers. And, we would love to do nothing more than just go in and teach our content and stop raising the kids of those. And at first, I called and I was angry, but I took a couple deep breaths while I was on hold, Russ. And, I just feel like it. Just to let you guys know that we would love to do, and I've worked with young people for over 20 years now as a youth pastor, as a public school teacher, and I thank God for the getting paid by those tax dollars, as your caller said, and my tax dollars too, by the way. And we are all employees of the people. And, we don't necessarily have a decision of what to teach our kids. It's the fact that people don't teach their kids is why we have to teach their kids the morals and things like that. So instead of blaming the public school system, I think we should blame society that parents have stopped raising their kids, and we have to take up the gap. I'm a history teacher.
Right.
I wish church folks would stop saying how good and godly that a lot of our forefathers were when Thomas Jefferson wanted to take out the deity of Christ and wrote his own Bible to do so, and most of the church doesn't realize that. Let's stop blaming each other. Start praying for us and thank God for the mission field that we have. And my goodness, this gender equality. I have a 3.5-year-old son who knows he's a boy, and he can look at somebody and tell that they're a boy or a girl without clothes being taken off.
Right.
Man, let's stop blaming the public school systems, and let's blame the parents, and let's pray for our public school teachers that we can stop teaching those things.
Wesley, I hate to cut you off. We're out of time, and thank you for your service and being there to be a light to the students. I appreciate that. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we indeed are out of time. Well, from Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Folks, indeed, it's been a pleasure to be with you here today on this Friday. Have a blessed weekend. And if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we will see you again on Monday. Be blessed.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.